Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll be reading through chapter 13. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 10. This is the word of God. "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, 'I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you.' When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. 'What have you done to me?' he said. 'Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.' Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, 'Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, Walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Please write this down. The hero in all the Bible stories who never does anything wrong and always does everything right is not Abram or Abraham. It's God. The hero is God. God's the one who always does the right thing. As the Bible unfolds the story of God's dealings with man, we see again and again that even the great men and women of the Bible were flawed. And sometimes it wasn't just a flaw, it was a flaw. It was a big problem. We see that in today's lesson. Now we see some good things going on too. Abram had already been calling on the Lord. He had already obeyed the Lord, going out in faith to do what God had called him to do. God had told him to leave his family and everything that was familiar and go to the place the Lord would show him. And not even knowing exactly where he was going, he went. He obeyed the Lord. That's good. He built an altar. He called on the name of the Lord. That's good. He's worshiping God. He's obeying God. That's good. But when times get hard in the place where God had told him to be, he goes down to Egypt to get food. This isn't the last time that'll happen. And while he's in Egypt, he does not exhibit courage. He does not demonstrate that he is a man who calls on the Lord and trusts in the Lord. He's got Lot with him. He's got a bunch of servants with him, herdsmen. And yet, he's got his wife with him. And she is so pretty, it makes him nervous. He's afraid that people will say, that's her husband. Let's kill him and we can take her. So his solution to that is not to say, we need to get out of Egypt, or I'm going to leave you with Lot up here and I'll be back soon after I get us some food. His solution is, let's tell them you're my sister, and that way they won't hurt me. They'll just take you. What a jerk. What a coward. What an awful husband. The word husband means you're supposed to protect her. And instead he's like, I'm going to use you to protect me. Okay? You keep reading the story, you're going to find this is not the only time he did this. This was his routine when he got in threatening situations. Hi, you like my sister? You can have her. That's horrible. Please understand, that's not okay. This isn't in here because, if you ever get in a situation like that, this is a model of what to do. No! This is not good. And what is amazing is that instead, see, if I was God, I mean, there wouldn't be anybody left, including Jim Wood. I would just wipe out all of them. But God protected Sarai and Abram by making Pharaoh and his household ill. He brings this beautiful woman in that he wants as one of his wives. He puts her in the harem, and all of a sudden, he's not feeling so well. Was this germs? No, this is God. God afflicted them in order to protect her, and he spared Abram too. And eventually, Pharaoh figures out what's going on and restores Sarai to her real husband, Abram. But please understand, this was not an overnight visit to the harem. While she was there, Abram acquired, he's out doing business. He acquired large flocks and all kinds of goods. He's out doing trades. I mean, his wife's in Pharaoh's harem, and he's out wheeling and dealing. How do you like this guy? I mean, this is a fellow who, instead of protecting his wife, focused on protecting himself. That's not what the word husband means. The husband is supposed to protect and care for and nurture the wife.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what's happening here is shameful. It's wrong. It's disgraceful. And it is a pattern that's going to continue in subsequent generations. Let me tell you, be very careful, because whatever you sow, you will reap. And it's tragic as you look at the subsequent generations. But God spared her and spared him, and Pharaoh sent them on their way with his wife and everything he had. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. And Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. See, I mean, he could have hired a bunch of soldiers down there in Egypt. Well, not against Pharaoh. Wouldn't it be better to die than to just put your wife out there as somebody else's wife? Isn't it better to die? Couldn't God have spared him? Where was his faith? Now, Abram is a model for us of somebody who does the right thing. But he's also a warning to us that people who do the right thing can also do the wrong thing. Don't think because you did something right, you'll never do anything wrong. We all mess up. God's the one who's perfect. That's why we need a Savior, and that's why He saves. So please understand this. Who's the hero of all these stories? God. God is the hero. That's the main point for today. But now, God has spared them, and they went from place to place. Look at verse 3. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. In the Bible, there are sometimes different names for the same place. There are also sometimes different places with the same name. Bethel, that's spoken of here, is something you'll read about how it got named. That means the house of God. It got that name later on. But it's referred to in that way here because the people who were reading this knew that place by that name. Got it? So, please notice that he went, verse 3 of chapter 13, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. This is a pattern of Abram's life. He's going to be a man who lives in tents and moves from place to place to place to place. And the Bible tells us that you and I need to recognize that here on earth we have no continuing city. We are to live as pilgrims and strangers, as aliens on this planet. God might call you to stay in one particular place for generation after generation after generation. It's still temporary because you know what will happen? You'll die. You got to move on eventually. This pilgrimage that we see Abram on at this point in his life is supposed to be something that we do model after. The lying down in Egypt, that's something that's a warning. Don't do that. But the moving from place to place and being a pilgrim and an alien, that's something that's a positive role model. This guy had all these possessions, and yet he knew this place isn't home, and the next place won't be either. And he kept moving, and he kept moving, and he kept moving. Now, as the Lord blessed him, you know what happens with animals? They not only get older and die, but along the way, they have more animals. And the flocks and the herds were growing and multiplying, and it was wonderful. But they were running out of room. Because Abram had all his possessions, and Lot had all his possessions, and there were other people who lived in the area, the Canaanites and Perizzites. So there they are living there, and it's getting crowded, and their workers are starting to quarrel with each other. They're starting to fight over the assets, one of the main ones being water, another one being pasture land. So Abram shows us how to make peace. This is amazing. This is kindness, and this is very much something we will see in the next generation, Isaac, who repeatedly defers to others and is willing to go elsewhere. Okay? Abram takes his nephew Lot, and instead of saying, look, God's the one who called me, you're just along for the ride, I'm going to do this, you can have that. He says, Lot, let's don't have quarreling among us. We're family. We're brothers. We need to split up, but I'm going to let you decide where you want to go. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You decide. And Lot, being younger and the nephew and humble man that he was, Lot said, oh, Abram, God bless you. You're so kind. It's an honor just to be with you. I've learned so much from you. I think you should decide. No. Lot looked and he said, huh, well, that area over there looks a lot better than this area over here. I'm going to take that area over there. Not only that, but the place he chose and set up his tents near was full of horrible wickedness. Terrible stuff going on. I mean, really bad stuff. So bad that God is subsequently going to rain down fire from heaven and destroy that area. And Lot will end up a widower in a cave. But you know what's amazing? The Bible still refers to him as a righteous guy. You read the book of Hebrews. It refers to righteous Lot who was grieved every day by the wickedness in Sodom. The heroes in these stories are all flawed and messed up. The only hero who does the right thing all the time is God. The rest of us need to cry out for mercy, because it's only God's mercy that causes us to still be alive. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we got what we deserve, the wages that we've earned, death. That's what we deserve. Years ago, a fellow came to see me in my study at the church on Cape Cod, and he came in and he started telling me about some of the stuff that he'd been doing that he really felt guilty about. And he said, you know, I just don't feel as if I deserve God's love. And I said, well, you're right, you don't. And he said, no, I mean it, really. And he began telling me about some other bad stuff that he had done. And after he told me some more obnoxious stuff, he said, you know, I just feel like I'm not worthy of God's love. And I said, well, you're not. And he said, no, really, I mean, and he told me another tale of disgraceful conduct. And he said, and so, you know, when I do things like that, I just feel like I don't deserve for God to love me. And I said, well, you're right, you don't. And he said, what? Now, I'd said it three times before he finally had the light come on, and he realized I wasn't doing what every other preacher he had visited over the years did. His routine was he would go out, sin horribly, and after the guilt built up, he'd go see a preacher, say, I don't feel worthy of God's love, and the preacher would tell him, oh no, it's okay, we all mess up, God loves you anyway. And the first time that he heard a different message was in my study. You can count on me, folks. And so when I said to him, you don't deserve God's love, I had to say it three separate times before it finally broke through that I was saying something different. And he said, what did you say? I said, you don't deserve God's love. Well, he was shocked. But folks, that's not the end of our message. None of us deserves God's love, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It means he doesn't love us based on what we deserve. He loves us based on who he is. That's why his love is so amazing. That's why a former slave trader could write the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. All of us, according to Scripture, all of us are rotten. Please understand this. We don't have to defend ourselves and try and hope that nobody knows what's on the inside. We can be honest in light of God's word and say, I am a sinner. God, be merciful to me. Please forgive me and change me. I don't want to stay this way. And the great news is God doesn't just forgive us. He changes us. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I am a child of God. I am a saint of God. I am his beloved child, chosen in Christ Jesus, holy and dearly loved. Wow. But it's all grace. It is God who rescued me when I deserved hell. He gave me life. He adopted me into his family. And he said, I have a plan for you. And that is really good news. And that's what he offers you. If you will trust in him and obey him by his grace, he'll change you from the inside out. So, after Lot heads off to take the green, well-watered area, the Lord said to Abram, look at verse 14. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. This is to a man who's an old man with no kids. God says, I'm going to do what you can't do. I'm going to make you the father of multitudes. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. This is God's decision. Please understand that our salvation is God's doing. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. The only thing that Abram could do at that point was just to worship God. And you and I need to worship him. To say, God, you are the one who saves. You are the one who can change us. You are the one who can answer the deepest cry of our heart.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.